Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
Amen. So it's great to be back with you guys this evening and just ready to get into things. And if you weren't here this morning, can I see by a show of hands how many of you were not here this morning then? Amen. Well, welcome. Good to have you all here this evening. You will need to get the recording so that you can kind of be where we are. But I'll try and just lay a very, very basic foundation. We were having a look at Lucifer, who was an angel of worship, and how he fell. And he saw that he was perfect in all his ways until iniquity was found in him. So Lucifer was a worshiper, an angel of worship, created actually as a priest. He had the priestly stones on him, and he had instruments coming out of him, and he was, the Bible says he was beautiful and perfect in all his ways. And he was admired by everyone in heaven. And he would be the worshiper, a worshiper in heaven, created to do that function, to worship. And we saw this morning how it was when he began to compare himself to God, or when he got to the place where instead of worshiping God, he was desiring the worship for himself. Amen. And so he fell, and we saw that God, you needed to be here this morning, there's so much to say, but basically God kicked him out of heaven, and then God sought for a people that would worship him once he created man. And man was created, and God wanted all the Israelites, the Hebrew people, to be priests to him, to be a priesthood that would worship him, but they rejected that priesthood. And so God appointed the Levites to be the priests. Can you say amen? But what was disappointing about that is that God gave the Israelites the opportunity to be priests, but they turned it down. And so he then appoints the Levites, and it's wonderful because they did a great job. But how many of you know that was what they were appointed to do, not necessarily what they chose to do? And then all of a sudden we see a character in the Bible who comes along, who is a shepherd boy, and God has a lot to say about this guy. His name was David. And David was a man after God's own heart. When God chose David, he said to Samuel, "Don't look at his outward appearance. Stop looking at all the other brothers who look like they fit the part. I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in the heart." And so it is with God, that he's always looking at our hearts to see what is in our heart. Amen. And worship is, when worship comes, what God is looking for more than anything is what's in your heart when you worship him. Amen. So we're going to look a little deeper this evening and go a little further, and we'll see what happens. So David was a man after God's heart, seeking after him with all of his heart. And one of the things that David desperately wanted once he was king was to bring the ark back to Jerusalem. So let's go to 1 Chronicles 13, verse number 7. Isn't it fitting that the man that's after God's heart was desiring to bring the ark back to Jerusalem? Amen. Now let me just say this. David was very anointed. He was very, very anointed. In fact, as I mentioned this morning, that God sent a distressing spirit to Saul. And when David would play his instrument, nowhere else in the Bible do we see a distressing spirit or a spirit or an evil spirit, whatever kind of spirit, leave because of worship. But David stepped into a realm with worship that I believe was far before his time. And it was because of his heart when he would play that instrument. While he would play that harp, the presence of God would fall, and that distressing spirit had to leave Saul. Can you say amen? Now, when Jesus came, he established the kingdom. So his kingdom rules over the kingdom of darkness. So we have authority over the enemy. It's different. But in that atmosphere of worship, we see an incredible thing take place. Can you say amen? So we know David was anointed. That wasn't the issue. Now watch. 1 Chronicles 13, verse number 7. Amen. So they carried the ark of God on a new cart from the house of Abinadab and Uzzah and Ahio drove the cart. Then David and all of Israel played music before God with all their might, with singing on harps, on stringed instruments, on tambourines, on cymbals, and with trumpets. So I can imagine David, who's a musician, now the ox coming, and he thinks now that they're going to just have a joyful time and begin to worship and begin to do whatever they want, and God's going to just be impressed with this. Now watch what happens. And when they came to Chidon's threshing floor, Uzzah put out his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen stumbled. Then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and he struck him because he had put his hand to the ark, and he died there before God. And David became angry because of the Lord's outbreak against Uzzah. Therefore, that place was called Perez Uzzah to this day. And David was afraid of God that day, saying, how can I bring the ark of God to me? And if you study it, you'll see that actually the ark ends up going to a different man's house. And while the ark is there, God blesses him. And David gets very jealous, actually, because it's his desire to have the ark. But David must have inquired of the Lord and found out why things didn't quite work out the way he planned. You see, what's very important for us to understand is that God is a God of order. So just because we make a noise or just because we have instruments doesn't mean that God is in it. People want to just, you know, some people say that, well, you know, we must do it like this, or Pastor Alex, you know, we don't like worship at your church because, you know, you don't allow us to have this, or you don't allow us to do this, or whatever. Listen, God has an order. Amen. And the more I study it, because I've shared with my team this, the worship team, I've shared with them some of the things when it comes to the order of God on the platform. Because you'll see that what David actually does, once he realizes that there must be an order, is he appoints a leader. Then he appoints musicians under that leader. And everything is done in order, but he appoints the right people to do this. Now let me show you real quick what actually takes place. Are you guys okay? All right. 1 Chronicles 15:12. I'm leaving out a lot. In fact, if you want to learn more about this, I did a teaching on the tabernacle of David last year. You can go look it up. Amen. And there's a lot of information about the order of the tabernacle of David. 1 Chronicles 15:12-13. He said to them, you are the heads of your father's house of the Levites. Sanctify yourself. Sanctify yourself, you and your brethren, that you may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel to the place I have prepared for it. For because you did not do it the first time, the Lord our God broke out against us because we did not consult him about the proper order. Do all things in order. God does everything in order. There must be unity. There must be one accord. Now, I'm not in any way suggesting that when we worship, we can't be free and express ourselves. No, that's not what I'm saying at all. But what I'm trying to say is that in order for us to achieve what we want to achieve by going into the most holy place, there must be order present. Amen. So David learned this lesson, and you see by studying the scriptures how he places all this order into it, and then things start to really get hot in the kitchen. The presence of God comes and they worship in front of the tabernacle. And these are things that was not established in the times of Moses with the tabernacle, with the Ark of the Covenant. Back in the days of Moses, it was very, very sort of ritualistic. And they would have to do rituals, and they would have to go and do a sacrifice, and then the priest would go in. But with the tabernacle of David, there was worship 24 hours a day. There was a worship established. There was a love for God. And David had the musicians go and play before the altar, before the ark. For who? For God. And that's the biggest key to worship, is that it's not as much as I love you, it's not for you. It's to get you and I and all of us together for Him. Yes. Amen. So in order for us to establish a tabernacle in this place of worship, or a tabernacle of David, we must all be in one accord worshiping Him. Amen. And then something will begin to change. You see, whenever this worship takes place, things begin to happen. And if you see what takes place with David's life is all of a sudden, David begins to be so blessed. But not only does it bless him, and actually the blessing becomes so great that it blesses his son as well. Now, let me just show you just a little glimpse of David's heart. And when it comes to worshiping God and his desire to please the Lord, because it's really beautiful. Amen. Psalm 138, verse number 1. This is a psalm of David. Now watch it. Watch how he speaks. And actually, these psalms were sung to the Lord, just by the way. I will praise you with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing praises to you. I will worship towards your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness, your truth. For you have magnified your word above your name, above all your name. You see David's heart towards God. Let's go to Psalm 150, verse number 1. This is also a psalm of David. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the flute and the harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. So we see David with this heart of worship and praise before God. And listen, if you think David was perfect, he wasn't. He messed up big time, many times. But he always had a heart for worship. He had a heart of repentance. He would always go before God when he messed up. When he needed a breakthrough from God, he would always seek God. He would always go to God. This man believed in fasting. This man believed in prayer. This man believed in worship. He was a man after God's heart. I can tell you now that the church in this hour will be just like that. Will be a people that will seek God with everything. They'll come to church. They won't worry about who's standing next to them. They'll begin to lift their hands and begin to worship, not because of what you say or what I say, but because they just can't wait to enter in. I remember when I was back at Little Falls, when I was 20 years old in the Bible school, worship was my favorite thing. I would stand on the corner, and the church was a big church. I'd stand right in the front in the corner, and I would wait for the worship to start. Then I'd move off my seat to the side, and I would just go into another world. You'll hear my pastor, he talks about how all I used to do was just weep before God, because I just couldn't wait to get into his presence. I just couldn't wait to worship him with everything inside me, because it is just so refreshing. It is so renewing. And that moment of time when you worship like that, all of a sudden, your issues, your sins, your transgressions, your weaknesses just seem to disappear. It's like they no longer exist, and your focus begins to shift. Some of us are so focused on our problems, on our weaknesses, and how we're disappointing God. If only we could become a worshiper like David. When David committed his worst sin that we read about, when he committed adultery and murder, afterwards Nathan comes to him and gives him a word that is hard to swallow. And he goes before God and he begins to weep and he begins to worship and he cries out to God. And when his son dies, he gets up and everything's like, it's okay, because he gave it to God. Now, I can't even fathom it, but this is the heart of this man. He gets up and accepts it, and he goes and he eats. because he's been fasting and praying, knowing what's going to take place, but he doesn't get up and blame God. He knew what he did was wrong. So how could he blame God? Amen. Amen. All right, let's not go there. Amen. Now David got to a place where he was so desperate, because the tabernacle was in a tent, and he felt that he lived in a beautiful house, in a palace made of cedar wood and fine gold and all this stuff. So he decided that, you know, he went to the prophet Nathan and said, listen, Nathan, I want to build God, I want to build him a house for the ark. I want it to be glorious and beautiful. And his heart about desiring to build this temple was so pure. And watch what God says to him, because this is what I want to show you. When your heart begins to turn towards God and your motive is pure, purely because you desire to worship him. You see, we can go to worship, and we can worship with a desire that God would do something for us. But if we go before him desiring to give to him, desiring to exalt him, desiring to magnify him, desiring to praise him. You see, David's desire at this point had nothing to do with him. He had all the riches in the world. He had everything he needed. But his desire was to build a special place for God's ark. Can you say amen? Amen. 1 Chronicles 17:7. Now this is what God tells the prophet Nathan to go and tell David. Now therefore, 1 Chronicles 17:7. Now therefore, thus shall you say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the sheepfold, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people. Now I want you to just stop right there. For there are many of us that right now, where you are in your life, or where you come from, might have a simple beginning like a sheep boy. Or you may think that what you're doing is insignificant. But when your heart turns to him, when you decide, listen, I'm going to give him all of my heart. I'm going to give him all of my soul. I'm going to give him all of my strength. When the challenges come and the giants come, you know that your God is with you and that he will provide. Listen, he'll take you from the sheepfold and he'll make you a king. He'll crown you. He will give you a priesthood. He will give you a kingship, and he will take you out. Come on, somebody. Who else says, God, I'm desperate. I'm desperate, God. Hallelujah. Amen. Take your seats. Thank you so much. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. He will take you from the sheepfold and he will put you ruler over his people. And I have been with you wherever you have gone. And I have cut off all your enemies from before you and have made you a name like the name of the great men who are on the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people, Israel. And I will plant them that they may dwell in a place of their own and move no more. Nor shall the sons of wickedness oppress them anymore as previously, since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel. Also, I will subdue all your enemies. For them, furthermore, I tell you that the Lord will build you a house, and it shall be when your days are fulfilled, when you must go to be with your fathers, that I will set up your seed after you, who will be of your sons, and I will establish his kingdom. Now watch. And he will build me a house, and I will establish his throne forever. I will establish his throne forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. And I will not take my mercy away from him. I will not take my mercy away from him. I will establish him. You must understand that we must, this generation, we must, adults, I'm speaking to you now. You that have young people living in your house, you that are raising children, it is time for us to be like David, to begin to seek the Lord with all of our hearts, so that when the Lord looks upon us and he looks at our heart and he sees our desire to serve and to please him, that when he sees the purity, the truth that lies in our heart, listen, it's not about the mistakes, it's about the heart condition, that he will speak a word like this over your children, and your children will be able to walk over their enemies. Your children will be able to speak to their enemies like they are nothing, and the Lord's mercy will be with them all the days of their life, and they will not stumble and they will not fall. I speak to your children this evening in this place. I speak life to your children, those who have gone wayward, those that are lost. I speak to them this evening in this place, for we will be a people that will worship him in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. You see, I am excited about this word. I take this word for me. And Nathan went and told all of this to David. If you study it, you'll see how David is the one who basically does everything anyway. Solomon is the one who builds the temple, but David prepares it all. The provision was there for Solomon. Amen. God is seeking for those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. Listen, I don't know where you come from. There's some of you that are here this evening. I don't know you that well. I may not even know you at all yet. I'll get to know you. Amen. But God is calling us tonight, guys. I sense an urgency in the Spirit, and he's desiring greatly for a people that will long for him, that will desire to worship him, because he wants to bless us. You see, it was his plan from the beginning to have a nation, a people that would worship him this way. That's why he then created Adam and Eve to do this. He created them to walk with him, to have intimacy with him, to have relationship with him, and they messed it up. But how many of you know we have Jesus? And Jesus came and he died for us. So now we not only walk with him and have relationship with him, but he now lives inside of us. He lives inside every single one of us, and we can tap into him whenever we want. But there is something. There is something. There is something. John 4, verse 23. It's not like this every Sunday, guys, if you knew. Amen? Just sometimes. Amen? Most of the time. Amen. It's different every week. Amen. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth, and in truth. Jesus said to the woman at the well that the hour is coming, and now is, that there would be true worshipers. Let's go to Amos 9, verse number 11. Amos 9, verse number 11. Amos is prophesying about a people. Watch. On that day, I will raise up the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down, and repaired its damages. I will raise up its ruins and rebuild it as in the days of old. The tabernacle of David. You see, when Jesus spoke to the woman at the well, he knew that there was a time, the time was at hand, was about to take place, where this tabernacle, the tabernacle of David, the tabernacle of true worship, would be established once again on the earth. He knew it was at hand. He knew it was about to take place, because it wasn't very long after this that he went to the cross. He knew it was about to happen. And so, as the Lord goes to the cross, he now establishes an ability for us to go into the most holy place, for us to be able to enter into the very throne room of God. But he's looking for a people that will worship him in spirit and in truth, because God is a spirit and we must worship him that way. Amen. So we see when he says that it is now and they are coming, is that he was speaking about a prophecy that was about to be fulfilled. We must worship him in spirit and in truth. Worshiping in spirit means that we must worship with our whole heart. We must worship him in the spirit. We must worship him from our innermost parts. My spirit to his spirit. Intimately, with all of my heart, with all of my spirit, surrender myself to him. And begin to worship. You see, when you worship with the innermost part of who you are, the rest of your body follows. The rest of your posture follows. You automatically begin to move into a position of worship, whether it's lying on the ground or lifting your hands or going on your knees. But your body follows when your spirit begins to worship. With everything inside of you, you begin to worship. Amen. Paul said in Corinthians, he said that when I pray in tongues, my spirit prays. 1 Corinthians 14:14. When you pray in tongues, when you worship in tongues, he also went on and said, I sing in the spirit, I sing in my language, I sing in the spirit, I sing in tongues, and I sing in my language. When you sing in tongues, when you sing in the spirit, your spirit man is connecting with him. Oh, I know some of you don't know about tongues. Come to the e-course. Amen. I can't teach you now. Come to E1. But there is something very special about being in the spirit. About being in the spirit, where your mind gets bypassed and it's your spirit and his spirit, and you're busy praying and you're busy worshiping, and all of a sudden he begins to speak to you, he begins to show you things to come, he begins to reveal destiny to you, he begins to put things in place. Listen, every single time I go on a fast, I don't even ask, I just pray and I begin to seek him. And after the fast, things just fall into place like this, because he's moving on my behalf. He's moving on my behalf to fulfill what? To fulfill the plan that he already had for me. But I decided that I'm going to get out of the way. I'm going to put my flesh down and I'm going to listen to his voice and I'm going to submit myself to him. Whoever says you mustn't fast, whoever says you mustn't pray anymore, is talking rubbish. Rubbish. Hallelujah. Amen. We don't have to do anything anymore. Whatever. Shut up, you devil. Amen. Well, don't speak to the devil that way. Can't speak to the devil that way. Of course I can. Of course I can. Of course I can. Oh. Amen. Behave. Now, so we understand what worshiping in spirit is. But we must also worship in truth. The word of God is the truth. So every step that you take when you worship in truth is worshiping according to his word. And what you see in the word when it comes alive in you. But here's a very important key. Worshiping in truth means that you come before Him with nothing hidden. That you come before Him and you reel before Him. No pretending. No hiding anything. Because when you come before Him and it's real, that's when He can come. Because the Bible says that when you humble yourself and you pray, that He will heal your land. Because what happens is, in the humbling yourself, you also turn from those things that are holding you back, from your wicked ways, and you begin to worship. When you humble yourself, it means that you are now getting to a place where you're saying, God, I realize I make mistakes. I realize I have problems. I realize I have even iniquity in my heart. But Lord, take it away from me, because in this place tonight, I just want to lay it all down at your feet. You see, I don't want to pretend with you, God. I don't want to pretend everything's okay and hide it from you like as though it isn't there, because it is there, Lord. And I give it to you tonight. Listen, if you've got stuff in your life that you are hiding, it's time to get it out. It's time to confess it. It's time to let it go. It's time to get it out of you. Because when you're hiding something inside of you, it will be hidden and it will be causing darkness in your life. Don't be ashamed. Let it out. Let it go. Don't let the enemy hold anything on you, because otherwise your worship isn't true. Come and be real. Confess whatever you need to confess. Get it out. Be real with God. Hide nothing from Him. Psalm 32 verse 5. Watch how David would go before God. Psalm 32 verse 5. I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Selah. God is seeking worshipers, those who will come and not hide anything. The result of this is that you will become what you worship. You will become what you worship. Behold in a mirror the image of God. As you behold His image, so you transform in worship. That's when you begin to transform. As you worship Him, as you walk in spirit and in truth, as you understand the truth of who Jesus Christ is, you lay it all down. You recognize who He is, what He's done in your life, what He does in your life. You go before Him, you put it all down, you begin to worship. And as you begin to do this, so you will begin to transform into His image. You will become more loving. You'll find your identity. Amen. You see, when you don't worship God and you worship things in your life, that's what you become. Psalm 115, verse number 3. But our God is in heaven. He does whatever He pleases. Their idols are silver and gold. The work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak. Eyes they have, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear. Noses they have, but they do not smell. In other words, they are dead. They have hands, but they do not handle. Feet they have, but they do not walk. Nor do they mutter through their throats. Those who make them are like them. Those who make them are like them. You become like that you worship. You must have truth in you and begin to worship Him with all of your heart. And then you begin to transform into that He created you to be right from the very beginning, which is to walk in His image and His likeness. But what do you worship? And how do you choose to worship? Now watch. You see, the Father is seeking those who will worship in spirit and truth. Because there was an angel who fell from heaven like lightning. But while he was in heaven, busy worshiping, with all of heaven worshiping, there was iniquity. There was something hidden in his heart. And he caused even one third of the angels to be deceived because of that iniquity in his heart. And God found out and saw that iniquity in him, and that's when he became corrupted. You cannot worship if you are hiding things inside you. If you are hiding what happened to you when you were a child, if you are hiding that abuse that took place, you cannot break free. You must be free in this night, in this place. It is time for us as a church to let go of those things that hold us back. It's time for us to let go of those things that we're hiding. Because as soon as you begin to hide and you begin to look inward and you begin to look at yourself and how people think about you and what people say about you, and you want them to praise you and you want them to adore you and you want them to focus on you instead of focusing on God, and even your life becomes focused on all those things around you but doesn't focus on Him anymore, that's when iniquity begins to come into our hearts. Listen, church, we must be careful that when we go to God, we come to Him humble, that we come to Him recognizing that He is the Almighty God, that we come to Him and we recognize, listen, we're not playing here. This is the God of all creation, and we must humble ourselves and we must look at Him and say, Father, You are the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You are the one who created everything. You are the one who put the stars in their place. You laid the foundations of the earth. You even organized its axle and its core and gravity, and it all comes from You. And Father, who am I? Who am I that I would come before You and worship You? But I do. I come, Lord. Humbly I come. I come in spirit and I come in truth. I hide nothing from You. You already know anyway. So Father, this evening in this place, I let go of all my pain. I let go of all my hurt. I let go of all my shame. I let go of all that stuff that's holding me back. And tonight in this place, Lord, I declare and decree to You that I will be one of those. I will be a true worshiper. Yes, I will. I will be a true worshiper. Will you be a true worshiper? Even now in this place, there are people that are busy worshiping Him. I don't need to tell you to worship. You do it on your own. If you're a worshiper, you'll begin to worship right now. You'll begin to cry out to Him right now. Listen, tonight is the night of visitation in this place. Don't miss your hour of visitation in this place. Give it to Him. Give it to Him now. Give it to Him tonight. Give it to Him. Lay down your burdens. Lay them down this evening in this place. Come on, church, let's worship.
You are my hiding place. Revelation 4:11, it says, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. You may ask, why must I worship him?" And the reason why we worship him is because he is worthy. He is worthy. How many of you in this place tonight say, "He is worthy"? Oh Lord, you are worthy. Let's cry out to him. Let's say to him now, "You are worthy." Keep it now. So Father, in this atmosphere tonight, there are many in this place, Father, who tonight have decided, "I will no longer hide my shame or my pain. I will no longer hide the things of the past. They will no longer determine who I am in you." And Father, even now, my life might not be right. Many might be saying, "My life might not be right." But Father, I come before you and I lay it before you. I lay it before you. I desire to worship you tonight in this place in spirit and in truth. And so right now, wherever you are in your seat, I pray right now that you be free from everything of your past. Right now, I break it off you in Jesus' name. Just receive it now. Receive it now. Your shame, your pain, that hurt, I break it off you now in the name of Jesus. Be free now, in the name of Jesus. Be free, be made whole. Whatever it is you've been hiding, whatever sin it is that's been holding you back, tonight just give it to him. Lord, wash us in the blood of the Lamb this evening in this place. Make us whole, make us new, that we would worship you together in this place, in spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth. Let's worship just a little more, just a little more.
Peace, I am delighted.
And so, Father, this evening in this place, we thank you for your presence. We thank you that you are transforming us into the image of your Son, bit by bit, day by day, as we seek you in spirit and truth. So it is that we will transform, and surely we will see not only his love, for love conquers all, for the greatest of all things is love. And we thank you for it this evening in this place. We thank you for your love. Oh, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your love towards us, your grace and mercy towards us. We thank you, Father. And we thank you, Father, that in that place of loving you back, that we will see your power. We will see your power. We will see resurrection power. We will see deliverance. We will see lives transformed, not by might or by power, but by your Spirit, as we worship in spirit and in truth. We thank you this evening for what you have done in this place, for a deep work has been done in many this evening in this place. Father, we give you all the glory and the praise. We love you and we worship you. There is none like you. Father, we will never be the same again because of you. Because of you, we love you and we worship and we praise you. I pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Father, and the communion with the Spirit be with every one of you in this week. Be that that you are called to be before your purpose, before your individual callings. We are all called to be worshipers. For that is what the Father is seeking. Can you say amen? Amen. God bless you guys. Thank you so much for coming this evening. Have a wonderful, wonderful week. And we will see you next week. God bless you. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.